Thank you so much for listening to Art in Your Ear. Right now in the studio, I've got a friendly, familiar voice. Hello, Dewey Davis Thompson.
Hello, Jo Ellen.
And then we've got a new friend here at Art in Your Ear. Maybe we'll be friends. Maybe not. He might hate my guts. Tom Sivak. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Sunshine City, you know, this whole month in St. Petersburg, there's all this stuff. There was the Shine Festival, which is a mural festival. They have the name SPF 15. We'll talk to them about that next year. There is the next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, there's the big, what is it? It's the, oh, no, I just found it. It's like the solstice celebration all up and down Central Avenue. And so now you have a musical that is also about St. Pete, Sunshine City. How did this get started?
Well, Dewey came to me and told me that he had a script about St. Petersburg in the 1920s. I've only been here for a couple of years. I love St. Pete, and it seemed like something I really wanted to do.
I'd heard Mayor Baker speak, and he told a story about how in St. Pete in the 1920s there was a sort of a public relations scandal that revolved around one-piece swimsuits. And I thought, well, that's a very interesting story. And I wrote a musical 10 years ago about this. And it just sort of sat in a drawer. And then when Tom moved down, we were introduced. And I shared the script with him. And we've been working on it since February. And we now have a grant from the Arts Council of Pinellas to do a stage reading on Monday night.
And when, what was it so intriguing? Like, what? Just real quickly, what exactly is it that people were showing things that they ought not show, or there was a tease that wasn't quite true?
Well, actually, it was a scheme to improve real estate values. In the late 1920s, the real estate boom in Florida was kind of failing, and so people were looking for any excuse to bring people down here. So it was really just a big publicity stunt that St. Petersburg famous bachelor mayor did. And I just thought it was such a ridiculous artifice to have these, you know, swimsuit inspections that were just for public affairs. So that, you know, and it was just really fun. The 20s are such a fun time, you know. There's the musical, there's all different kinds of musical themes that we're able, you know, different kinds of musical styles that Tom was able to bring in, and just that whole aesthetic is just really fun to work in.
I want to play a little clip from the musical so far, and to give a little idea. And this is going to be a clip from Sunshine City called The Freedom of Movement, Movement. Any setup? Does this need any type of setup?
Well, this is sung by a character named Annette Kellerman, who was an actual historical figure. She basically invented the one-piece swimsuit. Prior to this, women wore swimming gowns that were heavy, and really you couldn't swim. I mean, you could wade in the water, but if you tried to swim, you'd pretty much drown. So that's who's singing the song, and she's addressing the women of St. Petersburg. I think that's a good enough introduction for it.
Oh, cool. Let's listen.
A woman should always be nice and polite. On Sunday, you see her in church wearing white. She's queen of the kitchen with skillets and pans, submissive to the wishes of her man. As long as we stick to society's rules, as long as we cave in and cede our control, we never will own our own bodies and souls. Each one of us must make a choice. Just take it or raise up your voice. The freedom of movement, movement has arrived in town. We have come to fight for women's right to make our voice resound. We challenge men to try to swim in a women's swimming gown. We'll all watch you drown. We will wear the one-piece swimsuit. We will swim in the sea comfortably, looking kind of cute. We will wear the one-piece swimsuit and speak up for ourselves.
So this is, we've been joined. Thank you so much, Susie. I know you've been kind of wandering and trying to rush to get here. We've been, Susie DeVore?
No. Yes.
Susie DeVore, mm-hmm. who is directing Sunshine City. So you have to wrangle not only a bunch of a bunch of actors and stuff like that, but you also have to wrangle these guys.
Yes, I do.
I'm so sorry.
It's been a fun wrangling process, though.
What kind of stood out for you when you started seeing the script and the book and the lyrics and the music? What kind of grabbed you that made you say, "Oh yeah, I want to be part of this"?
Absolutely. Well, all of it put together. I mean, there's themes of love, betrayal, marriage, women's rights, all of that coupled with music. How could it go wrong? I mean, it's just a beautiful story with, like I said, great themes that are really exciting and specific to St. Pete as well.
Was there now with the team here? Let me ask, when you're trying to come up with a show about, there's a very specific idea and you have what you want to do, there is a lot of different types of music that was sort of crawling through the 1920s. It was a decade of incredible change. But as a composer and as writing lyrics and writing this, how do you like sort of give the subtle, like know when it's supposed to be a subtle cue? Like we're going to indicate this subtly through this musical change or through this type of thing. And how do you know when it's supposed to be like, in your face, here's the thing?
You know, things evolve on their own, it seems. I remember there's a song of the show called When I Am a Big Reporter, and it's sung by the female lead, Susan's boyfriend, and his goal is to be a reporter one day. And I started to write it, and I was surprised at the direction it took, because he's a Dudley Do-Right kind of a guy, you know. He believes in doing what's right, and he's very honest and forthright. Maybe not the brightest guy, you know, but his intentions are always on the mark. And the music came out almost operetta-ish. And really, musical theater in the 20s was very influenced by operetta. You know, you think of Showboat is really an operetta more than a musical. And it came out that way, and I previewed it with Dewey, and he approved, and it really kind of influenced the rest of the score. You know, there are other songs in the show which are also operetta, not based, but have that flavor of operetta to them.
And some of the songs, you know, the 1920s had such a diverse kind of musical sound. I mean, there was jazz, there was, we've got one sort of like the Tin Can Lodeo, Dodeo, Dodeo kind of, you know, soft shoe thing. And then for the song Swimsuit Inspection, we actually have a czar of swimsuit inspections. And he's German, so we have a German cabaret style song where he's, you know, examining all of the women's swimsuits on stage. And it really fit, you know, once we heard that style music with that action. So, you know, whereas a love song needs to be, you know, a certain feel to it, the action really drives the music that you choose.
You know, St. Pete at the time also had a nude beach. There was for health, of course.
The
solarium. You would only go there for health. There were some great nightclubs. I look at the pictures and stuff, some wonderful nightclubs. A lot of them on the tops of buildings or, you know, up in the air, in the sky. It was there was a really big boom. What year is, how, is there awareness of the characters? Do they know about the crash coming, or is it, are they still sort of innocent of the Depression?
You know, there were so many similarities between the 1920s and what we're facing now in terms of, you know, economics and the housing crash. And there were a lot of things about, you know, the Depression that I think people now can relate to. And so we were conscious of the fact that everybody was on the verge of this. You know, it's the very end of the party that was the 1920s, and everybody's happy and it's great and it's so much fun. And like, next year's 1929 is going to be so much better. Oops.
And also there was a recession in the teens. The 1920s came on the heels of a pretty bad recession, and that the war in, you know, the European war, World War One, both prolonged and helped eventually, I think, alleviate. I'm not an economist.
You know, I think what Dewey said about there are things about the show that you can that relate to today is an important element of the show. And one of the elements that evolved as we were writing it is the women's rights issue, because whereas this publicity stunt about the one-piece suit is comical, you know, to us to think that women in a one-piece suit, which looks like a something your grandmother would wear today would be scandalous. At the time, it was an issue. Women were being arrested for wearing these suits and being thrown in jail. It evolved into a statement about women's rights, which is still an issue today. Did you know the Equal Rights Amendment was first put in front of the Congress in 1924?
Yes. We're women. We know that. Yes.
Sorry. I didn't know that until I started working on the show.
So one of the interesting aspects of collaboration was the way the story kind of evolved. When I first wrote it 10 years ago, I had a certain plot and certain ideas about what was going to happen. And when I brought it to Tom, you know, and we started working through the songs and how it was actually going to happen, I sat down to just kind of meditate on the characters and figure out, you know, who are these people? And what's the real story here? And all of a sudden I realized it wasn't Jack who was our hero, but it was Susan. You know, this story is about swimsuits and women's rights and all of these issues. Why not have a female protagonist? And I called Tom and I said, hey, I've got some news about our play. Susan is the main character. And he said, what? Really? I don't know. And he called me back 2 days later and said, you're absolutely right. So to a certain extent, you know, the creative process was very fluid, and we let the characters and the situations kind of drive the story. And that way, too, we weren't really tied to actual history. We don't have the real mayor. You know, the only actual real character is Annette Kellerman, and we kind of took liberties with that. So
I want to remind listeners, I'm speaking with the creative team for Sunshine City, the musical. It is going to be showing, or there's going to be a staged reading at the Palladium this Monday night, and you can get lots more information if you go online to sunshinecitythemusical.com. I'm looking at that right now, and in a moment we're going to play another piece of music from the musical. But I'm interested too, there was is there a certain thing that that all of you were kind of looking for as a team? The idea of fun, I mean, this is just, you know, what exploring, I know that I'm not going to pretend, it does explore all these issues, but overall, the sensibility from it is like, this is a blast. I mean, this is just really fun. So when you are, you know, Susie, when you're thinking about directing it or any part of it, what is it? Is it like kick it up a notch? Are we going to do a little more? How is a director and how is this team? Do you want to make sure that people are walking away with this? I mean, it just feels like you should have a big smile on your face when you're done with it.
Yes, you definitely should. And you definitely will. After this experience, it brings up these important issues. But at the same time, there is this huge element of fun because the characters are so real and so fun. And the relationships that they have with each other, along with what comes out through the music, just, you can't help but walk away and say, that was a really great experience. The story that's told is a fun story.
Well, what do you do as a director, though? How do you work with people? I mean, I know it's a stage reading, so it's not as much movement and things like that, but how do you sort of work with the individual actors? I know definitely the cast has a lot of familiar names, and I see Becca McCoy in there. I know whatever Becca McCoy does is always going to be great.
This cast is amazing, so they're making my job really easy.
But what do you do? Like, what do you say to them, or do you have to push them? Do you have to pull them out? Like, just talk for a minute about what you've had to do with the cast on this. Have you done it? Have you had rehearsals yet? I'm getting faces. Maybe we should go listen to some music. Have you guys worked together yet?
No, we haven't.
Oh, okay. There we go. So what are you going to do?
Our plan is to really just flesh these characters and bring them to life, flesh them out and really bring them to life and see, you know, what the actors bring to them along with...
Isn't this on Monday?
Well, we've already rehearsed the music.
I've met
with each actor individually.
Yeah.
But tonight is our first full cast rehearsal.
Okay.
We had individual
rehearsals. Well, what are you planning on doing?
This is what we're planning
on
doing.
Get them drunk.
Yeah. No.
Okay. This is why no one ever asked me to direct their play shows. Let's get drunk. That'd be great. Well, okay. Well, I'm gonna pivot right there because we're starting to run out of time. So one of the pieces in this is called Dear Editor. It's the opening song. Does this need any type of anything?
I don't think so.
Dear Editor?
Yeah,
all right.
Roll it.
Dear Editor, it is.
Dear Editor, we the members of the SPLUC are outraged by displays of public nudity. All our beaches are littered by
sort. Without such legislation, St. Petersburg, the Sunshine City, is just a step above the House of Ill Repute. Oh, we, the members of the SPL, you see, demand that action must be taken immediately. All my sisters and I agree, there are some things that men were never meant to see. Sincerely, Mrs. Ophelia Hotweather, chairwoman of St. Petersburg League of Upright Citizens.
I want to join the St. Petersburg League of Upright Citizens. That actually, you know, the fun, very, very sort of operatic, you know, operetta, mm-hmm, musical, yes, version, also reminded me of Wizard of Oz, you know, when they're in the trilling in the Emerald City, mm-hmm, and things like that. I would think that sort of portraying someone who's clutching her pearls would be really fun, you know, that sort of idea.
I'm glad you got that from, you know, just listening to it. That's great.
Right. I was just sort of like, you know, oh, I'm so offended. we all know I cannot sing. So what, you know, I mean, so this is, it's definitely a song, a story about pop culture, about popular culture, you know, and the levels of popular culture. We were talking while that was playing about thongs. What did you say, Dewey, about thongs?
Yeah, thongs. Thongs are still illegal on Florida State Park beaches. So you can be arrested for wearing the wrong swimsuit to this day.
Right.
Or no swimsuit at all.
Or
I
no
suppose.
Swimsuit.
guilty.
Were there other, like, were there current things that you were looking at when you were doing them? Because the idea and the original script is 10 years old. The story is about something that happened almost, you know, or about 90 years ago, almost 90 years ago. But what was happening right now that sort of you were kind of wanting to fold into what you're doing?
Well, certainly the abortion debate and that's going on with Planned Parenthood, you know, is similar to the women's rights issues that the women were dealing with in the 20s. I mean, nothing has changed. You know, there's a song called A Man's World, where Susan laments the fact that she doesn't have the opportunities that a man would have in her career. That hasn't changed.
It's funny sometimes, and I love the programmers here. I love listening to the station, but sometimes I'm like, wow, I just listened to 2 hours and they played one female artist, mm-hmm, you know, and it's kind of like, really? You know? And people will say, oh, well, there wasn't female artists there. I'm like, yeah, there were a lot more, you know, it's just one of those things that it's just, I think people just don't, you know, still don't quite get that we're not anywhere near there yet.
The Dramatists Guild recently did a study and they found that although 50% of playwrights are female, only 25% of the plays being produced are actually written by women, an aside. And, you know, Tom and I, especially when we realized our protagonist was a woman, we really wanted to have a female director. So not that we, you know, didn't take applications from everybody, but when Susie came forward, it was like, oh, this is perfect. She can really help make sure that we stay on, you know, on that issue, right, because Tom and I are clearly not.
And Susie, was there something that, you know, one, do you direct a lot? I don't know you, so I'm so sorry about my stupid questions, but is direct, because I know that you act.
I do.
I know you,
yes,
from acting, but
yes,
the directing I did not know,
yes,
about. So do you do a lot of directing? Or
I direct, I run the theater program at HCC, mm-hmm, in Ybor. So I
direct your butt off.
Yes, I do. Quite a few productions a year. But in addition, I wanted to talk a little bit about the process of a staged reading, going back to sort of where we left off. So, you know, what we're looking for in a staged reading from the audience is real, raw feedback based on what the script is, based on where the characters are at this point, where the music is at this point, and just seeing this, you know, just seeing the story told in front of us, which is why we, you know, we do have obviously a rehearsal process. But it's shorter than a full production,
of course. Yeah.
And you know, so it lends this different experience than walking coming in and expecting to see the story fully produced in a full play, because that's not what it is.
It seems too that, you know, as a creative team, you get so close to a show that there's no way to judge it anymore. You know, I always think it's always better to work as a team, because if you're an individual, then you're like, you know, it's a yes no matter what. So this way you have that feedback. And
yes,
if
absolutely.
It's feedback from several people, the same feedback, you're like, we can't really ignore that, can we? So just again, because we're almost out of time, it's Monday night at the Palladium, and starts at what time?
At 7.
At 7, thank you. It's radio. It starts at 7.
You can't see my fingers?
I can't. Oh. So I'm going to post a link. I'm going to post the Sunshine City, the musical.com website up on the Art in Your Ear Facebook page, and the Art in Your Ear page on WMNF. Is there a Facebook page for Sunshine City, the musical yet?
No, there's just the website.
Okay, so someday there probably...
Well, we have an invite. Actually, there's an event page for this day's reading on Facebook.
Okay. So I'll try to find that and put that up there. And, you know, because of all the social media. And then, so what happens, just real quickly, we've got 1 minute. What happens on Tuesday?
We sleep?
No.
We hope that someone gives us lots of money to take it to the next step.
Right.
Yeah, we're definitely looking, you know, for a theater that would like to produce this. And, you know, Tom and I were very conscious of the fact that, yes, it's got interest in people in St. Pete, sure, but also Florida in general. Mm-hmm. And we actually wrote it specifically with a larger American audience in mind. It's very universal. You know, it is set in St. Pete, but the issues and the resolutions to the issues are things that resonate for everyone.
Well, it was like Web City. You know, Web City was a very specific musical to St. Pete, but it resonated with people way past St. Pete, because it also spoke about a time that exists in a nostalgic way, but then also has these very real, as you were talking about before, Dewey, what was happening then, there was a kind of like dancing before everything fell apart, you know, and that's what it felt like in the early aughts of, and you know, I think everybody's a little worried that we might start doing that again. So, well, my guests have been Dewey Davis Thompson, oh my goodness, Tom Sivak, and Susie DeVore.
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. Again, the musical is on Monday night at the Palladium. Probably if you also go to mypalladium.org, I would imagine that they have something up there about it. I think they do. I think I saw it on there yesterday. And then Sunshine City, the musical.com. Thank you all so much for coming in.
Thanks, Joelle.
Thank you.
There's a problem that we must all address. Exactly what that problem is, I must confess, I don't know. They want the one-piece swimsuit. All right, then we'll come clean. The suit's okay, but societal change? What does that mean? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't
know. I don't know. But I think she's gonna blow. It's a hurricane. A hurricane. Too much femininity is a threat to our inner masculinity. It's a hurricane, a hurricane.
What'll we do?
What do they want? We can only guess.
Why don't we do what we always do? Acquiesce. But if we don't take action, it may jeopardize our very way of life.
Yeah, then what?
Yeah.
Who's gonna make my dinner?
Right.
Who's gonna wash the floors?
That's woman's work.
Who's gonna fetch my slippers?
Yeah.
Who's gonna do the household chores? Bathing suits are one thing, but we can only go so far.
Right.
We love